Amen. Take your Bible, turn to Hebrews chapter 11, if you would. The book of Hebrews chapter 11. It's been many weeks since we've been able to continue in our study in the book of Hebrews. We've been talking about the walk of faith that we have, and so I'm excited to get back into that study. We spent some time going through some different series. Brother Crow spent some time on Sunday night addressing the subject of music, and so tonight we'll endeavor to get back on track with where we need to be. Do I have a monitor on or something that's feeding back, if you can help me with that a little bit? Truth of the matter is, everyone exercises faith every day of their life. People today want to argue about whether or not they have faith or whether they're people of faith. But ladies and gentlemen, faith is a common denominator of life. Not everyone exercises faith unto salvation, but everyone has faith. The difference between daily faith and saving faith is the object of your faith. To some people, the object of their faith is money. To some people, the object of their faith is happiness. To some people, it's a relationship. To some people, it's a false doctrine or a false belief. And we see some of that even throughout the book of Hebrews. But for those who are saved, it's Jesus Christ. The Bible says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. If you're in this room tonight and you're saved, you have saving faith. Somewhere along the way, you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You exercised faith. You called upon Him and believed within your heart. And because of that faith, Christ saved you. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of where our Christian life starts. But how do we grow our faith? And that's the means of Hebrews chapter 11. We're introduced to these Old Testament saints who believe by God, who had faith. They exercised faith. Many of them, when we read about what has taken place, they had faced new challenges. They had faced different circumstances they had never come up against before. And yet they had personal faith in God. And because of that faith. Some of them, in fact, by the way, never even saw the promise, but yet they still had faith. And because of that, God rewarded them, and they traded what was earthly for something heavenly, and God honored them. And the truth is that here we are in the New Testament era, and we're called on for no less. God wants us to have faith and to exercise faith, and He will honor us as well. And so Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your place, let me encourage you to stand, and we'll read just a couple of the verses tonight, beginning in verse number 4, and we'll read down through verse number 7. The Bible says, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to be in your house. And Lord, we're so thankful for what you've done in our hearts over the last several weeks as we have called upon you many times, Lord, to strengthen our faith and to encourage our faith. And Lord, as we come tonight to learn more about what that faith is like, I pray that the Holy Spirit would have liberty. And Lord, I ask that you would allow us to be attentive. I recognize that, Lord, these have been long weeks and many have had busy weekends. But God, would you allow us to focus for a few moments and give us, Lord, the attentive spirit that we need. Speak to our hearts, we pray. And I ask that you would challenge us to make decisions to be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated, and thank you for standing. In the opening part of the chapter, there's an explanation of what faith is and what faith does. In fact, many of these notes you should already have. We started with the denotation and then moved quickly into Roman numeral number 2, the demonstration of faith, and many of these going back several weeks. I trust that you have these. If you do not, you're certainly welcome to write those down, and we'll pick up with the outline here in just a moment. But we have an understanding in verses 1 through 3 of what faith looks like. It's not so much a definition of faith, though it's there and though we would often use it that way. It's more so of what faith actually looks like. And by the way, can I remind you that faith is not just simply believing in spite of the evidence. That's what we call superstition. And as Bible believers, we ought not fall for superstition. We believe by faith. And so faith gives substance to that which is unseen. Those unseen realities, faith props it up. And true Bible faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of what we may understand, in spite of the circumstances, and yet even in spite of the consequences. Sometimes we base our faith based on what we think the consequences will be or what the outcome will look like. And ladies and gentlemen, that's not Bible faith. Bible faith doesn't have to do with what it's going to come out to be or what the circumstances are or if I can define it. Bible faith is trusting what God said. And we see that in every one of these men, and we'll certainly see that here in just a moment in verse number 7. God speaks, we hear his word, we trust in what he said, and then we act upon what he has said. And at times, when we exercise faith, we may not understand it. In fact, I'd go so far as to say, at times, God may call upon you to have faith, and you may not agree with it. There may be times that God may be stretching your faith and you may be afraid of what lies ahead or what it looks like, but watch it, that's when faith is really tested. That's when real faith begins to grow. And so in these opening verses, we have seen some Old Testament examples. Verse number 4, 5, and 6. Here are these individuals that are named. We're starting to learn by their example. The first one is Abel, who teaches us what worshiping faith is all about. Abel could not see. Abel did not know and did not understand it all. Yet he exercised obedience to the word of God. He exercised faith in the promises of God. And therefore, he approached God with his sacrifice by faith, and God rewarded him for that. By the way, just in case you've forgotten, it wasn't Abel's ritual, it wasn't Abel's sacrifice, it wasn't Abel's offering that pleased God. The Bible said it was Abel's faith. It was the faith that brought the pleasing and the blessing of God. And then we meet Enoch in verse number 5 and verse number 6. And Enoch is a picture of walking faith. He teaches us what it means to walk with God. And by the way, every Christian ought walk with God. You ought to be a person who is a Bible believer that walks with God. And if there's ever a time that we need a reminder of what Enoch speaks about in our church body, then it's now more than ever. This week I preached my 5th funeral in less than 60 days. 3 of those were many of our treasured and precious church members. And the truth of the matter is, when we look at Enoch's faith and we look at Enoch's life, it's a reminder to the believer that we have hope in the truth that through Jesus Christ we have eternal life and we shall see our loved ones again, but we'll see Jesus Christ. Look at, you can die physically, but if you're saved, you'll not die spiritually. And we see a picture of that in Enoch's life. And you look at verse number 6, and we read it and we quote it often, but here's a wonderful reminder. It is impossible for you to please God without faith. I had a conversation with a lady this week, and we were talking about some things in her life and some things that she was dealing with. And she said, "Preacher, I just don't know that I can do that. I just don't know that that it's going to work out for me that way. It doesn't seem to match, and I can't quite figure it out." And I just kind of slid back from the desk and said, "That's what faith is. God's not asking you to figure it out, and God's not looking for you to have the answer. God's looking for you to trust him, because without faith, it's impossible to please him." So that brings us to letter C, which is a verse about Noah. And Noah is a picture of witnessing faith. My, what a witness and a testimony that Noah is. Now here's Noah. When God first spoke to Noah about building the ark, it was somewhere around 100 years before the flood. There's no such sign of natural catastrophe. There's no sign that there will be a flood. There's no evidence that there's going to be some sort of worldwide problem. And for a full century, in fact, as we read about Noah's life, for 100 years, things would continue on earth just as they were. And that is that men would wax worse and worse, and that evil men and seducers and wicked men would continue to fulfill their flesh and fulfill their desires. And there didn't seem to be any change. Some believed that it never rained before that time. I don't know, you can believe what you want to about that, but the truth of the matter is, it makes this pronouncement that God gave to Noah really an unlikely fulfillment. Now, I'm afraid that sometimes we've grown up in junior church and Sunday school, and we've grown up in church all of our life, and we understand the story of Noah and the ark, and we've heard it, and we've seen it in vacation Bible school. We've read it in the Bible stories. We've seen people in junior church act crazy as they've acted it out, and I think sometimes we take that for granted. Sometimes we take for granted what is actually happening there, because to us, rains and sometimes heavy rainfalls and all of those things are just a part of our culture and a part of our natural events that take place. But understand, ladies and gentlemen, that was not the case in Noah's day. And as unlikely as it was, you don't find any place where Noah argued with God about that. He just believed him. In fact, those of you who are preachers in the room, if you want a great sermon title for Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 7, Noah has faith that floats. And what a tremendous picture it is. Now, can I just say to you, it would be good for us if we could pull ourselves away from the cares of this life for a moment and realize that there may be times in your life, just like perhaps those in Noah's day, and just like even throughout Noah's heart, there may be times in your life when you feel like you are drowning. And I want to tell you, my friend, that the Word of God props up to us an example that though we may feel that way in our life, and though it may seem like there is struggle, through the Word of God, you can still stay afloat, and you can still serve God, and you can still make it. You say, well, preacher, you just don't know what I'm dealing with, and it's just too hard. Preacher, I just don't see any way out. Preacher, I'm not going to make it. There's just no possible way that I'm going to get out of this. Can I say to you, respectfully as I can, you're not the first person to have a trial in your life. You're not the first person to come up against something that you couldn't explain and that didn't make sense. And may I just bolster your faith tonight, my friend, yes, you can, because your God is bigger than your burden, and your God is stronger than your storm, and your God is much more powerful than your problem. God's not interested in you figuring it out. God's not interested, you can say amen, but I'll just preach either way. God's not interested in you building a raft to try to float on your own. God wants you to trust Him. That's what God wants in your life. That's what He wanted in Noah's day. That's what He wanted from the people in Noah's day. And it's no different for you and I. And it would behoove us tonight to take the Word of God and to learn from these examples and say, I want faith like that in my life. You know what I found? Every person who endeavors to serve God wants faith like that. But we don't want to practice it. We don't want the stretching that gets us there. So I'm going to give to you several things that we see displayed in Noah's life. I don't know what your clock says. Somebody told me that all these clocks up here are wrong. There's two or three of them laying here. One says 6:20-something. One says 6:30-something. Whatever the case may be. I just want to share a couple of thoughts with you. I know that the schedule was a little bit different this morning. We'll be out of here on time. But notice, if you would, number one, the Word of God. Now, go to verse number 7. I want your eyes to see it. By faith, Noah, comma, being warned of God of things not seen as yet. Now, question. How was Noah warned of God? Come on now, it's just us here. God spoke to him. It's in Genesis chapter 6, if you need to go back and reread it. God spoke to him. Now, God doesn't audibly speak by way of voice in our day, and we've talked about that even throughout these passages of Scripture. But God spoke to Noah, and He spoke to him about things that he couldn't yet see, things that he couldn't quite explain, things that Noah just, there was no way that Noah could understand it. There was no way that Noah was going to be able to wrap his mind around it. But watch now, none of that mattered. Because God was looking for his faith. And I want to tell you, I don't care if you're 24, I don't care if you're 48, I don't care if you're somewhere in between or you're a teenager, real faith is when God asks something of you that you can't quite get your mind around. And it is always, always, wait a minute, it always has a resting place in the Word of God. Noah didn't know what was going to come. But what he did know is that God had spoken. And by the way, that was enough. Now, we've talked earlier about the role of Scripture when it comes to our growth of faith. God told Noah there were going to be some disastrous things that were going to take place. They were yet to come. And so here's a man who just simply took God at his word. By the way, we could park there, and a lot of Bible believers need a good dose of that. He didn't have to figure it out. He didn't have to understand it all. He didn't need the financial paperwork to be able to figure out how to build the ark. He just took God at his word and trusted him. Now, wait a minute. Do you understand, ladies and gentlemen, we are to do the same still today. Do you realize that the Bible warns of the consequences of sin? And if a person, most certainly a Bible believer, but if a person continues to feed their flesh, they will pay a price for that. If a person continues to fuel their lust, make no mistake about it, there is going to be danger ahead, and it's going to catch up with them. And we may not be able to see the consequences. We may not be able to understand that they're quite there. We may have never experienced judgment for the sin that we may be involved in. But rest assured, according to the Word of God, it will happen. The truth is, we become real good at covering our sin today. And it might would do us good just to step back and to evaluate the fact that, you know, the Bible has said that if I'm going to live a certain way, that there will be consequences for that. If you want to continue to hang on to your addiction, I don't care whether it's smoking weed or drinking booze or puffing on tobacco, it doesn't matter to me what those are. You just fill in the blank yourself, warning there's disaster ahead. Now, I know I've been preaching for more than one service, and I realize that many people sit in a pew and they say, well, preacher, I know that's what a lot of people say, but that'll never happen to me. I mean, you got to understand, I've been smoking for 30 years. Wait a minute. Just because you haven't seen the judgment yet doesn't mean that it won't show up. Well, preacher, my daddy was a drunk for 20 or 30 years, and nothing really ever happened to him. Wait a minute. Just because you haven't seen the hand of God doesn't mean that disaster won't show up. Is everybody okay? And it would do us good to just get back to the place where we open the Bible and we understand that when the Bible warns about disaster, we don't need an explanation for it. We don't need anything else. We're just to heed what the Word of God says. There's some folks who want to continue to live in adultery. And I know we're in this conservative Christian world today that wants to soothe our conscience and say, well, preacher, I'm not really married, so it doesn't really matter if I am involved with someone. Can I just clear the record tonight? It doesn't matter if you're married or if you're unmarried. It is fornication or adultery, whichever the case, and they are all wrong in the sight of God. The Bible's very clear that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled. And I know we live in the South, and I know, excuse me now, many folks have the mentality, well, preacher, they mean well. Well, preacher, they're good folks. We stayed in a motel the other night at the funeral, and the lady behind the desk was telling me how that her preacher, they had run out of the church because he was taking a stand on sin. And I always loved those conversations. I introduced myself as the preacher, spent 30 minutes at the desk counseling the woman. I said, lady, give me my bottle of water and my room key so I can leave, will you? And she went on to tell me how that they ran their preacher out of the church and she wasn't going to have any of that. And I just listened. I just smiled. And she said, you know, preachers ought not do that. I said, well, ma'am, I would beg to differ. I said, according to the Word of God, and I shared with her a few things, and I said, the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter where you're a preacher, whether you're a Christian, we ought to stand where the Word of God is. Now, to this point, I haven't even heard what the problem is. Here was the problem. She said, well, you wouldn't understand. There was a lady in our church who had a boyfriend, and she had to move in with him because he had some health problems, and the preacher had a problem with that. Well, now you can argue whether you have a problem with that. I didn't need the rest of the story, but she gave it to me anyways. And she said, for some reason, there was a problem if they were involved sexually. You think?
Now, I wanted to preach to her, and I just was polite, and I was kind, and I was graceful, mostly because I didn't want her to turn the air conditioner off in my room, but nonetheless, I was kind and graceful to her, but the truth is, that's becoming our culture today. Well, preacher, God understands, and preacher, God's okay with it. My friend, I don't care what you listen to or where you go, God is not okay with it, and it would do good for us to take the Word of God and open the Bible and understand there is disaster if we live that way. There are consequences for turning our back on God. Warning, warning, take God at His word. I could go on tonight and we could list all kinds of things, but here's Noah who made preparation for the judgment of God that was coming, and he constructed an ark. Now watch this. Despite the fact that people were mocking him, he constructed an ark despite the fact that those who watched him thought he was crazy. What's wrong with this guy? He's nuts. And ladies and gentlemen, do you realize, get this, Noah followed God's instructions to a T. I mean, what God told him to do, he did. Now here it is. And his whole family was saved, while the rest of the planet was destroyed. By the way, for the record, we believe in a worldwide flood. Genesis chapter 6, the Bible says all living creatures. The Bible says that all underneath the heaven, all the earth, the Bible says that every living substance and every creeping thing, that about covers it. All flesh died, the Bible says, in Genesis chapter 6. Don't you believe the kook theories that there was just some kind of storm cloud over the ark, or that it was some kind of local thunderstorm? Ladies and gentlemen, God destroyed the earth and He saved Noah and his family alive. That was a miracle, and it was a display of blessing for Noah's faith, and here we are tonight, and we're to follow his example as we heed the Scripture, as we read the Word of God, we follow his example of faith, and we learn how we can have victory, and God can bless us for following him as well. There's some folks in this room tonight who you have friends and family that think you're crazy because you follow the Bible to a T. I mean, they look at you and they think, I don't know why you read the Bible every day. What's the matter with you? Why do you really listen to the preacher? Seriously? You're going to let some preacher tell you what to do? I can't believe you're going to send your kids to Bible college. There must be something wrong with you. What's wrong with you? Can I just encourage them tonight, my friend? Let them laugh and let them question and let them look out of the corner of their eye at you and let them seem to be funny. You keep on believing the Bible and keep on following God and keep on trusting Him, and it will work out to your glory and to His glory. And so here's Noah, who obeyed exactly what God told him to do. And our faith grows in proportion to our obedience to the Word of God. As I hear the Word of God, the more promises that I claim, the more truths that I put into practice, the more I will mature in my faith and become like Christ. And the reality is, every Christian needs to continue to practice that. That's why the Bible must play an important role in your life every day. Do you realize there is a direct connection between deference to the Scripture and growth in your faith? In other words, what you do with the Bible will determine what God does with you. So in Noah's life, first of all, there's a picture here of the Word of God. Second of all, there's a picture here of the fear of God. The Bible says, the next phrase in the verse, moved with fear. Now, Noah's faith involved the whole person. His mind was warned of God. His heart was moved with fear. His will acted upon what God had told him. Now, I hope you'll get this. There's a picture here of devotion to God and dread of what lies ahead. Both of them are evident in this verse. And do you realize that the fear of God is a necessity to exercise and growing your faith? How so? Well, think about Jesus. In the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus Christ was fully devoted to the will of his Father. But at the same time, there are expressions of dread or fear, if you will, of what lied ahead as he must face the wrath of God. And so here's Noah in similar fashion, with every desire to want to do what God's asked him to do, with every desire to want to be obedient to God, but yet out of fear, understanding the motivation of the judgment that was coming. And so Noah believed. And Noah built, and Noah bettered his family. Now don't miss the connection between the Word of God motivated by the fear of God. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is not to cause us to be people of anxiety. That's not scriptural. But the Bible is to cause us to be people of reality. And for Noah, he heard the word, and he was to heed the word, and he was to be horrified of the wreckage that was yet to come. In other words, some of you are getting glossy-eyed. If you can read your Bible, and you can hear it preached, and you can see laid out for you very clearly the prescription of what lies ahead, and it doesn't faze you, you're in a bad place spiritually. You're in a tough place spiritually. And by the way, we don't have any problem with the preacher preaching that when it comes to salvation. We have no problem with the preacher standing and saying, the Bible says, if you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you'll be cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says some save by fear, pulling them out of the fire. And we say amen to the fact that people need to be saved. And it doesn't matter what the motivation is, but they need to be saved for fear of what lies ahead because of the consequence of not trusting Christ. But wait a minute, if the preacher dares stands up and says that there's judgment for your sin, or there's judgment that lies ahead for us moving away from God, somehow we take offense. Ladies and gentlemen, according to the Bible, I believe, by the way, just to insert this, you ought to live for God in order to honor Him. You ought to want to please God because you love Him. But I will in no way, shape, or form apologize for the fact that if I need to slip in behind you and stoke the coals of fire underneath you to get you stirred up about what lies ahead, then make no mistake about it, I'll do it. Because I'm concerned about my life and your life, us being pleasing to God. And sometimes we need a little dose of the fear of God of what may happen if we don't get right with God. There are some people in this world, all they care about is making more money and making a name for themselves. They do not care about the disaster that lies ahead. They do not care about all the warning signs that they are getting. They do not care about you as a mom and dad or you as a grandparent trying to help them and signal the alarm. They don't care about the preacher trying to show them that this road leads to destruction and maybe by the grace of God, the Word of God could alight some fear in them and help them understand they'll ruin their life. So in Noah's life, we see a picture of the Word of God. We see a picture of the fear of God. Number three, there's a picture of service to the Lord or service of God. Notice the next phrases. The Bible says, prepared an ark to the saving of his house. And then there's a semicolon, and it says, by the which he condemned the world. There's two parts that are taking place here. In Noah's day, these people hadn't seen a flood. Truth of the matter is, most of us haven't probably seen a flood, certainly not to the devastation of this effect. I know we live on the Mississippi River, and there's, you can talk about the flood. Well, preacher, the flood that happened back in the 1970s, and I hear all those wonderful stories. This morning, people were talking about, boy, that was a bad storm last night, but you remember that one time it took out two light poles instead of one light pole? We had those three icicles that hung off of the light pole and all that fun stuff. And these people hadn't seen a flood like that. And they hadn't even seen a rainstorm. And none of that made sense to them. So watch now. Noah's actions really brought a lot of ridicule. I mean, they brought a lot of questions.
It generated a lot of interest. What's wrong with him? What is it that motivates him? But ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says because of his faith, he influenced and saved his whole family, yet also condemned the world. Now, how is that possible? Are you listening? Because his faith revealed their disbelief. Noah, get this now, it'll help you. Noah's faith revealed how far they were from where they ought be. You know, there's a lot of people who have been saved, gotten right with God, and all of a sudden your testimony condemns the family around you because it doesn't make sense to them. Now, that should never become an arrogant tone. There is something wrong in your heart if you approach your friends and family on the basis that you are better than them because of who you are. My friend, if there is anything better in us, it's the grace of God. But your faith will condemn them. And it reveals to them what they are missing in their life. And the truth is, the majority of people in Genesis chapter 6 simply refused to believe his witness, simply refused to believe what he was saying to them. And here's Noah, who just kept on working and kept on witnessing and kept on being faithful. And I mean, they would come and they would ask questions and they would mock. And he just kept on working and kept on witnessing and kept on pointing to the Lord and kept on building an ark. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, what a tremendous example that is to you and I. There may be times in your witnessing that you get discouraged and you think nobody cares and nobody's listening and it doesn't seem like you're ever getting through and you're never making any difference. Don't let that discourage you. You just keep on working and keep on serving and keep on witnessing and let God be the judge of that. And Noah did, and then came the final act of faith. Noah stepped into that ark, and those who believed as well. By the way, I don't believe that his family just got saved by osmosis. They believed as well. And they stepped in the ark with him. And his witness could have been unto them life, but it was unto them death. And his faith demonstrated to an unbelieving generation they were without excuse. If you read too many commentators, certainly those who don't have a Bible degree worth any paper it's written on, they will want you to believe that God was unmerciful and he wrongfully killed or destroyed all of the world. Ladies and gentlemen, God was completely just and sovereign, always has been and always will be. They were without excuse. They knew of Noah's God. They knew of Noah's faith. They heard Noah's witness. The salvation was provided. It was right there. And they refused to believe it. Now for us sometimes in the New Testament era, we look at that and we say, well, preacher, it's a little bit different for us because, you know, we're not getting on an ark and it's a little bit, you know, things aren't the same. But can I just tell you, to parse it down to where you and I live, it's very much the same. Because there are some people that live in the good old boys society who are frustrated with the fact that their children are not right with God or their children don't love God, and somehow it's God's fault that they're not living for him. Somehow it's God's fault if they don't get into heaven. My friend, none of that is God's fault. And it is the same, always has been the same, that everyone shall give an account of himself before the Lord. There is a witness all around. There are churches all around. The gospel is being preached more now than ever before. The internet is virtually in every part of the world. The gospel is available. And as we look at this witness that Noah had to them, they were without excuse, which is why the Bible uses the term by the which he condemned the world. Can I ask you a question? How is your faith to others and your service to God? Because how you live now will be a testimony to the generation coming behind you.
There's one more thing that it proved, the last phrase of the verse, and that is that he was a child of God. The Bible says that he was heir of righteousness. The events of Noah's life proved that he was right. Now, I don't mean this in any disrespectful way, and I don't think you would receive it that way. Yesterday, we had the opportunity to lay to rest the body of Jerry Nichols, who was already with the Lord at that point. And there were some people that didn't understand the faith that Jerry Nichols had. Some of the family thought he was odd and weird for his devotion to the Lord. They didn't quite get it. And ladies and gentlemen, can I tell you that all of that comes to a pinnacle place when it is proved that his faith was real. And it was right. And that's the same with Noah. Now, flip over to Matthew chapter 24 and we'll be done. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus used this experience to warn people to be ready for his return. Matthew 24, look at verse number 36. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. Matthew 24, verse 37. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, and the one shall be taken, the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken, the other left. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. Now look this way. In Noah's day, people were going about the everyday routines of life. Some of them innocent, eating, drinking, marrying. Some of them not so innocent, living in sin, and they completely ignored Noah's witness. But Noah, by faith, became an heir of righteousness. And so Jesus said, that's the same righteousness that I offer to you, and you ought to make preparation for. Can I ask you a question? How's your faith? Father, thank you for your word and thank you for the practical truths that we can learn from these Old Testament patriarchs of faith. Now, Lord, help us not to just hear the word, but Lord, help us to be willing to heed what you have taught us. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Two questions is all I have to ask you tonight. Really three if you account the question of your faith. But question one, how is your witness? What kind of witness do you have now to your family and friends? What kind of witness do you have to the people around you? And question number two, do people see in your life that you heed